Okay, Parshas Vayetze is about Yaakov Avinu going into Golus for 20 plus years. And he had many tzoros along the way. Rashi points out, the Medrash points out, there were four, from starting at that point, there were four major troubles or difficulties that he had. One was with Lavan, all those years with Lavan. Then, of course, Esav. Then when he comes back to Israel, he has a problem with Dinah, his daughter Dinah. She's kidnapped, raped. And finally, the problem with Yosef. So of Yosef. Yosef was kidnapped, disappeared from all those over 20 plus years. Now, what the Shemishma wants to say in page Shin Lamed Ches is that these four troubles that Yaakov Avinu had the bad rest of his life are the four kingdoms, Kuzmasa, Ava, Sim, and Labanim. Whatever the Torah describes Ava, Misak, and Yaakov is a symbolic play of what's going to happen to the children of Israel in the future. So Yaakov having the four crises, Lavan, Esav, Dinah, Yosef, represents the four malchios, the four kingdoms which will subjugate the Jewish people in the course of Jewish history. This is our tradition. We have a tradition of four malchios that were going to be subjugated four times. First Bavel, then Persia, Paros HaMadai, then Yavan, the Greeks, and finally Edom, the Romans, which includes also Yishmael as part of Edom, because Edom and Yishmael go together. Because Esav married Yishmael's daughter. So all the troubles we've had the last 2,000 years from Edom, from the Romans, everything which comes out of the Roman Empire, including Yishmael, is the fourth and the worst of all the crises. Yosef was the worst one for Yaakov, Yosef, the last one.
Why is it not Dinah?
Dinah was not so long. It was only a certain amount of time when she was kidnapped and then they freed her. Maybe it took a few days. But Yosef, he was lost for more than 20 years. So it was much more long-term suffering. And Yosef also created, because of Yosef, they moved down to Egypt, which began the problem of becoming slaves in Egypt. So Yosef was the worst. Like Edom is far and away the worst for the Jewish people, the Roman exile is far and away by far the worst. It's far and away the longest. And also, so in a way, it had very deep effects on the Jewish people, much more than the others. So it says, right, there's a medrash that says when he had the dream and he saw the angels going up and down the ladder, he actually saw only four angels. These are the four malchias, the four. The Medrash says that when he saw the fourth angel go up, he saw that one, two, three, they go up and then they fall down. And he saw the fourth angel go up, and it didn't come down. All the angels were very frightening. They were very, very demons. So they frightened him. And so it says the Chumash, he was frightened. The fourth angel terrified him because the fourth angel, as it looked so terrible, never didn't come down. So the man that represents Edom, which seems to be, even today, when we think about the exile of the Jewish people, we don't see any end in sight. We don't know. Even with the state of Israel, we still don't know. Is there an end to this exile or not? It's not. The state of Israel itself is very tenuous. You know, every so often there's wars, terror attacks, condemnations. We don't know if the state of Israel is going to be forever. We also don't know what's going to happen to the Jews around the world. We see Jews are disappearing at astronomical rates. 70-80% of Jews around the world outside Israel are intermarrying. So basically the Jewish nation is disappearing at an astronomical quick rate, except for Israel. So it's very frightening. You don't know when the end will come. So Yaakov was frightened when he saw the angel of Edom, because it went up but did not come down. But God says to him, as I think it's a pasuk, God says, even if Edom will come to the sky, I will not come down. There's a pasuk from the Nevi'im say, even though it seems to be an endless exile, but it will have an end. Anyway, these are the four angels, the four kingdoms, and the four personal problems, crises that Yaakov went through. Now, the fact that ultimately Yaakov Avinu comes through all of the four crises, and by Yechi Yaakov, it says at the end, he has a good final, and the end of his life is okay. So that's a symptom, a symbol for the future of the Jewish people, that we're going to go through these four stages of difficulty and suffering, but at the end we will be redeemed, like Yaakov at the end. Vayechi Yaakov. Yaakov has chiyus. Okay. Now, let's just talk a little bit about the four kingdoms. What type of challenge are they? So the first is Bavel. Bavel, first of all, is Avodah Zorah. The three major sins of Avodah Zorah, Gilu Ra'ah, Shpichas Dam. Avodah Zorah was in Bavel. Nebuchadnezzar, it was a country of idol worship, foreign religions, foreign gods. But also part of it was that it was really the first Gullus, the first time the Jews left their country after about 850 years, the Gemara says, from the time of Yeshua ben Nun till Gullus Bavel was around 850, I think it's 852 exactly. Just the shock of going out of the land of Israel, being in a foreign culture. Basically, the Potai, it means like this, that you know, every nation has a land. What does the land do for the nation? The English have England, the French have France, Russia has Russia, Russians, Chinese live in China. What does the land do for a nation? The land is where the nation can take root, like a tree. A tree has roots, it has to be planted in the ground, and the tree grows. Same thing with nations. Nations need a land area for them to be rooted. If they're rooted, they can grow. They can live. If the Jewish people goes into exile, it's a very, very, it's basically a death blow. No, there's no such a thing as a nation which exists without being on its own land. Just like a tree has to have a piece of ground and be planted in the ground, nations must be planted in land. That's the nature of a nation. Jews go into exile. Basically, for any other nation in the world, it would have been a death blow, uprooting a tree, and it should live without being in the ground. It's not possible. So, the Chiddush is that Hashem does a miracle. Hashem gives us the ability to live without land. And the secret is Torah. The secret is because the Gemara says, "Mishigalis mishachav beis amigdash, ein hakadosh baruch hu el ab am shel halacha v'levat." Without the beis amigdash, without the land of Israel, so Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jews the Torah, and that's what keeps us going. That's where He is with us, where we are. That's why it's a very, also very clear phenomenon that happened many, many times. The Jews who are in Galus, outside the land of Israel, and are not learning Torah, don't have Torah, they disappear. Look at, as I mentioned, the astronomical rate of intermarriage today, which is basically the final death of those Jews as being part of the Jewish people. Who is it happening to? Jews who don't learn any Torah at all. They have no connection to Torah. So like a tree without land, it has to wither and die. So they have to die because they don't have the Torah, which is the life source. Eitz Chaim Hi. That's what it says in the Pasuk. Eitz Chaim Hi, the Machazikim. But if you hold on to Torah, the tree stays alive. Eitz Chaim Hi, without being rooted in land. Without Torah, like any other nation, without land, you die. You can't be a nation without land. So that's why those Jews who don't continue learning Torah, they taka disappear. Only the Jews who continue with Talmud Torah, they have an Eitz Chaim, they stay alive despite the fact that they're in Golus. Anyway, that was the whole big shock of the first exile in Bavel. How can you survive without land, without being in the land of Israel? That's why in Bavel they developed Talmud Torah. And they went into Bavel, the Torah Shebech Balpeh started to become very important. Eventually it turned into Talmud Bavli, the Gemara of Bavel. Why is Talmud Bavli? Why is the Torah of Bavel the main Torah Shebech Balpeh? Why not Talmud Yerushalmi, the Talmud written in Israel? Because in Talmud written in Israel, as important as it was not absolutely necessary in terms of staying alive. Still, we were in the land. And so you see today, Israelis who are not, don't learn Torah and don't keep mitzvahs, they're still Israelis. They're still, there's a nation because they have a piece of land. They're living in the land. But outside Israel, in Bavel, you couldn't live, you couldn't survive without some other source of chayim, which had to be Torah. So that's why the Torah Shebal Peh, and there's no Nevuah outside Israel, and you can't have Torah Shebuchzav because there's no Nevuah. So they had to focus on the Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah Shebal Peh became the lifeblood of living outside Israel, and that became eventually Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli. And that's why the Talmud Bavli for 2,000 years has been the lifeblood of the Jews wherever they were, including America. The more people learn the Talmud Bavli in America, the more they stay Jewish. The less they learn, the more likely they're going to drop out. Talmud Bavli is our lifeblood. So that's the first galus of Bavel. Now, the second galus was Paras Amadai, right? The Persians took over. The Achashverosh. Now, the Paras Amadai galus was a different kind of a galus than Bavel. In Bavel, okay, we explain. But in Paras Amadai, the story begins, Achashverosh has this ball of 150 days of partying and women, every other pleasure, and the Jews were invited. And then a special party, 7 days for the Jews in Shushan. So basically, what's going on there? It's what we call the second basic sin, which is Gilu Arayos. First is Shvichas Damim. And how do you survive in Galus? That's Bavel, Shvichas Damim. You could die there. The second was Paras. Paras was Gilu Arayos. Physical pleasure. The physical, materialistic life can destroy the Jews. It's a different way, it's a different angle. In other words, the culture is a pleasure-seeking culture. Pleasure-seeking blinds a person to spirituality. Which day of the year do we have the most spirituality? Right, Yom Kippur. Why Yom Kippur? It's the least physical, the least pleasure. No food, no drink, no sex. Can't wear shoes. So, the least pleasure creates the most spirituality. The more pleasure, the less spirituality. It's literally, it's two sides of a scale. More pleasure, less spirituality. More spirituality, less pleasure. So Paras was the ultimate. Paras was the ultimate pleasure-seeking society. All they thought about the whole day was how am I going to have more pleasure. Reminds me a lot of America. You walk on the street, you see the boys, the girls, they're all into pleasure. I have more pleasure, more sex, more food. The average person you see has a pizza in his hand. He's eating, drinking. What's the most popular drink in America? Beer. It's all pleasure seeking, all pleasures of the flesh. That's what the country's into. That was Paras. Pleasures of the flesh. Partying, getting drunk, sex, pleasure. That is poison for spirituality. That's the way to kill spirituality. Give a guy a good overdose of physical pleasure, he loses spirituality. So that was the second danger. That was, by the way, is what's killing American Jews. Besides the first point I made, that without Torah, you cannot survive in Golus, because Torah is an Eitz Chaim. It gives us a life to exist, even though we don't have a land. But there's another thing which is killing American Jews, and that's the pleasure seeking. They brought it into American culture, which is a pleasure seeking. So the more you go for pleasure, the less you connect to the spiritual, the less you connect to Torah, Mitzvahs, and Hashem. Just as a piece of advice, I think it's a very good thing for a person to have certain pleasures that he denies himself. For example, I like to have a minig. I don't keep it as well as I would like to, but have a minig that during the week I won't eat cake. I'll only eat cake on Shabbos. I have plenty of times that there's cake which is on the table or people offer. I try very hard not to eat it. So I want to have a certain amount of denial of pleasure. By denying the pleasure, I get more awareness or the openness to the spiritual. If I give in to every single urge for every pleasure, it's gonna stuff out the spiritual. That's why with girls, very, very important to see the some boys and girls, I don't understand, they think that it's so-called the aveira of negiah, not to touch, is some religious thing. It's a chumrah. They think it's chumrah. But it's not just, a din, but if a person will deny that pleasure, okay, holding a girl's hand is a pleasure, but if he denies himself that pleasure, he gets more spirituality. Opens himself up to more ruchnis. If he gives in to that urge for that pleasure, he closes down his the doorway to spirituality. You always have to have pleasurable things that you say, I won't do. Now, for example, every Jew, from Jew, he won't eat unless he makes a bracha. So that all the mafashim say, so the food's there, he's hungry, he wants the pleasure, but he says, I can't, I have to say a bracha first. So even though it's 2 seconds, 3 seconds, but he denies his pleasure for a few seconds in order to say the bracha, so that he's getting spirituality instead of the pleasure. But if he would eat food without the bracha, not just he misses out the bracha, he's closing down his doorways and pathways for spirituality. So the Torah has many, many, many things which delay spiritual, delay a pleasure, like make a bracha. Or let's say you're married, so your wife is a nida. For 2 weeks you can't be together, so you're denying the pleasure. That creates more spirituality in the family. The people who have hilchas nida have much, much better marriages overall than the people who don't have hilchas nida. Because if you keep hilchas nida, you're closing down the doorway to pleasure, you open up the doorway for spirituality, and the family unit, husband and wife, is shechina shur b'neim. Hashem is there. It's a place to have spirituality, to have kedusha. We say Redmu Kadesh asleep. So to have the kedusha, you have to cut down the pleasure. Even when she's taught, but you're only supposed to be together once a week, or there's schedules, in order to cut down the pleasure. The more you cut down the pleasure, the more you have this, the ruchnis. Okay, now I just want to add a corollary. We're living in a day and age which is such a pleasure-seeking world, and also pleasures are so easy to get nowadays. It's very easy to get as much food as you want. Any enjoyment you want, you can get very easily nowadays, in America especially. So we've adjusted, you know, to Torah life adjusts to the culture you're in. So the American film world has adjusted to bring pleasure into the religious lifestyle. So let's say you're living in Europe 200-300 years ago, you wouldn't have pleasure, period. The whole world is a tough, rough world, so you wouldn't have this. So you could be very strong, let's say, quote, ascetic religious life. So you read things that say Mishneh Berurah will write, or other people from Europe, you see, oh, they were against all pleasure. It doesn't resonate because we don't understand. But Torah adjusts. So we're living in a world which has a lot of pleasure. So therefore, the way the Torah is practiced nowadays, it brings pleasure in a moderate form. In other words, on Shabbos, we have a lot of good food. Shabbos, the pleasure of getting dressed up, nice clothing, also Shabbos, Yom Tov. So you have pleasures, but it's moderate. So it's a pitoru. So women in the old days didn't walk around beautiful. Nowadays there's so much cosmetics and it's all over the place. Advertising, so your average from woman is beautiful the whole week. It used to be that she's only beautiful on Shabbos. During the week she was washing laundry, cleaning. She was like a maid in Europe. But today, it's different. You go to Borough Park in the middle of the week, you see women, beautiful wigs, makeup the whole week. Okay, it's all part of adjusting the Torah that there is, you can have pleasure in a moderate form, which will keep your religious, spiritual pathways open. That's the sheet of America. And it's gotten to Israel also. 30, 40 years ago, the average from Israeli was anti-pleasure. Today, the average from Israeli has become like the American from. They bring pleasure into the life, but it's moderated and focused and try to make it with kedusha, so let's say great food, Shabbos. Beautiful clothing, Shabbos. You try to make the pleasure mix with the spirituality, and apparently since all the Rabbanim nowadays went along with this, So apparently it's okay. Hashem wants us to. It's like you said that Poras is the original model of this challenge or pleasure, Achashverosh. What happens at the end of the story? Mordechai is dressed like a prime minister. It says Mordechai goes out, beautiful clothing, tcheles, and he's a prime minister, and he's still part of the Sanhedrin. He's still teaching Torah, he's still the big tzaddik. So that's the symbol for us that you don't have to only have one option, reject pleasure. No, you can integrate the pleasure into the spiritual. As Mordechai did, and Esther became the queen. She also was beautiful, dressed like a queen. So we can be, the model for us nowadays, especially American religious Jews, is Mordechai and Esther at the end of the story, where they're completely dressed beautifully like the rich, and they're part of the rich upper class of Persia, but still with absolute complete Torah, mitzvos, and kedusha. That's the model. So the Golus of Poras, that second Golus, is very, very relevant for nowadays. More than Bava. Because Bava also is very important, but Poras is also super important. Now, the third Golus is Yavon. Yavon, the Greeks, it's also very relevant for us. The Yavon Golus, the Golus of the intellect, because the Yavonim, they had Chochmah. So they challenged us with an alternate intellectual system. We have Torah and they have Chochmah. So they challenge with their system. So we have this problem nowadays also, because the Goyim have Chochmah b'Goyim Tamen. There's plenty of wisdom out there, just not Jewish. And a lot of times they throw us a fastball, a curveball, challenging. No, they want to claim that their Chochmah should replace the Chochmah of the Torah. And unfortunately, many Jews, especially in America and Israel too, many Jews have succumbed. They replaced the wisdom of the Torah with the wisdom of science, let's say, or the wisdom of humanities. They said we dropped the Torah wisdom for this other wisdom. It's a very, very big problem. I tell the truth, I'm very upset. I see that at the Yeshiva College, many boys put much more work, intellectual work, into the college. The Yeshiva is to get spirituality, you know, sing a niggin, daven, you learn a little bit, but where's your real mind? Where are you working your head? The college. To me, that's not good. That's not good, because we're supposed, Chochmah of Torah, the wisdom of the Torah, is supposed to be superior to the wisdom of Yavon. The Gemara says that the Chochmah of Torah is the queen, and the Chochmah of Yavon is the servant to the queen. The wisdom of the Torah is prime, and the wisdom of the Greeks services. You need science, we need other psychology, we need medicine, we need these other wisdoms, but they service the Torah. Main wisdom is Torah.
Where was the mashal
about
the queen and the
servant? The Gemara has a mashal. It says that the Torah is a queen, and the other wisdoms are this, the chamber. The queen goes with women around, they're called chambermaids. So that's the Chochmah of the Yavanim, the seven wisdoms. There are seven wisdoms.
Where is it?
You have to do a Google and find it. Google or ask one of the Rakim, like Danny Feldman. Remember Danny Feldman? I'm sure he knows that, because that's his field. It's very interesting. I think that it's based on the pasuk in Mishlei. I use a pasuk. Anyway, it's very important. You have to really I think in Yeshiva College, this is maybe a particular nisayon, a particular test of being in the Yeshiva College, is to make sure that you put as much intellectual work and time and effort into the Torah side. It should be more than the college side. Now, I went to Yeshiva College. I would never like to tell people to do things I wouldn't do myself. When I went to Yeshiva College, I would say like this, I was following the Rambam schedule. The Rambam says that someone has a 12-hour day, he should learn Torah 9 hours and spend 3 hours doing something else. Now, I'm talking about making a living, working. But when I was a college student, that was my schedule. I spent 3/4 of the time to be learning Torah. And 1/4 I spent in the college. I did it all the way through. I did it for the BA. I did it when I got my master's in engineering, and I did my PhD in engineering. Same thing, I went all the way. Always spent approximately 9 hours a day on Torah, and 3 hours or 4 hours doing the other work. I went all the way, so no one can, I can say it works. You can get your PhD. I got the PhD doing it. All right, it took longer. I didn't rush through college. College, instead of 4 years or 3 years, took me 6 years to graduate college. My master's, instead of 1 year, took me 3 years. My PhD, instead of 3 years, took me seven years. Because I was spending much less time. But so I got my PhD when I was 30. A lot of people get a PhD when they're 24, 25. I got 30. It didn't hurt me. I still got my job, City College. I was a math professor for 6 years before I became a rabbi. So my point is, you have to put more time into the Torah side than into the college side. It has to become a habit. The Torah is the queen. The other wisdoms are the maidservants or the chambermaids. They're not as important. Anyway, that's the challenge of Yavan. That's the third galus, because the Chachma of Yavan vies to replace Torah, God forbid. Some people gave in to that basic challenge. They dropped the Torah completely. And when so many Jewish people get Nobel Prizes in science and economics, which is okay, but how many of those who get the prizes are religious and are learning Torah? Not so many. The answer is that these people replaced the Chochmah of Torah with the Chochmah of Yavan. They gave in. So it's not, even though, you know, we're very proud of our Jewish Nobel Prize winners, it makes us feel national pride. But we know that this is not a good symbol, because it doesn't mean that the continuity is not going to be there. These people, if they're not religious, their children will marry, most probably children, grandchildren will marry out, they'll marry gone, because there's a 70, 80, 90% intermarriage rate today, but not religious. So just because you got a Nobel Prize as Jewish doesn't guarantee that the children, grandchildren are going to marry Jewish. So it's a very big test, the Yavan, the Greek challenge. It's a very big test. What we see is like this. We see that Bavel, which is just being out of the land of Israel, Paras, pleasure-seeking, Yavan, alternative intellectual pursuits, are all there today in full power. Why? Because the fourth galus, Edom, is the first three put together but raised to a higher power. Squared, quadrupled. You're away from Israel, but to more away than you ever were before. There's pleasure, more pleasure than ever before. There's intellectual alternative, much more than ever before. So that's what Edom is. Edom, the fourth galus, is all first three multiplied all together and then increased in time, because Edom is now 2,000 years with suffering in galus Edom. 2,000 years. Bava was only 70 years. Paras itself was maybe 30 years, very short. And Yavan was 125 years maybe. Adam is 2,000 years. And so it's much longer in time and quantity, and also much deeper in quality of the Golos. The Golos is much more deep because it's three Golios wrapped into one, and each part of those three Golios is more intense than ever before. So Golos Edom is the worst possible Golos. That's the Golos of Esav, that Yaakov Avinu had to struggle with Esav so much. Esav is Edom.
Edom means wrong.
Edom is wrong. The Romans destroyed the base of Mikdash, and then our Golos since then is everything with the Romans. And by the way, I just saw in the paper yesterday that Italy is in a brink of some collapse, a financial collapse. And I'm thinking Italy is Rome, they came out of Rome. Anyway, it's a tough situation. We can't say that it's easy. For Haraya, so many millions of Jews have succumbed to Golos Edom and are still succumbing. And not being lost. We have to be very, very strong. So, we said yesterday that sometimes the challenge is so tremendous that we don't feel that we can have energy to really fight it. So what do you do? What you do is what Hashem Yishmael points out, I think it's an excellent thing. Ishtam, Yaakov Ishtam, you go with a simple, I can't figure this out, it's too complicated, it's too powerful for me to come up with a strategy, so what do I do? Will I let this tidal wave of Golos Edom overwhelm me? The answer is, I cling to the faith of B'tmimus, Toras Hashem, Tamima. I say, I don't know. I can't explain it. All I know is if I stick with Torah, we will make it. We will survive. We will get a cool look at, of course, this big, big tumultuous ocean, and we'll get to the home port. We'll get to Eretz Yisrael. We'll get to Mashiach. Just be simple. I can't argue with people. I can't argue with them. It's too complicated. I can't go into every course here where they give you alternative lifestyles and argue with them. It's too complicated. I have a tzmimus. I know this is what Hashem said. Simple, that's it. That's all I'm doing. I'm not here to argue with people. I'm not here to come up with strategies. I just a simple ishtam. That's what the Hashem Yishmael says. That works. That, by the way, Nachman Breslov, who was a tremendous thinker, but he was very, 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 very on target for today's day and age. He says the real best way of staying religious is, he calls it Emuna Pshuta, simple faith. No thing, just simple. I don't think about it, just simple. Keep it simple. Keep it simple, it works. It's made from Yaakov Avinu. They're so tumultuous, these adversarial forces, that I can't really directly confront them. It goes simple, like the Maim, but it's also it's in Tanakh, it says, Maim hazeidonim, the evil waters go over my head. They pass me by because I'm hanging on to my life raft. I know I hold on to this life raft. I'm floating. That's all. So, bow tie. And we have to work with this koach of ishtam, of being tamim, simple, simple faith. I know I have to put on tefillin every day. I have to go to shul every day. To come to the yeshiva every day. I have to learn every day. Do it simple. Keep Shabbos. Not the I can't get involved with other people's philosophies and ideologies and argue with them, try to figure it out. It's too much. The Golus is too strong. I have to be able to hang on to something which keeps me afloat. Tamim, Ishtam. That's what the Shem Shmuel says. And you can say that Tzadik Be'Munaso Yechia, it says that. Moshe says that in the time of Mashiach, it'll be very, very difficult. Golos, you have Emunah, and then what the Nachman says, Emunah Pshuta, simple Emunah. Yechia, you will stay alive, you'll survive. That's why, for example, people who decide to go to Israel, kol hakavod lahem. Why? It's not a question of explaining why, what, when, who. It's pashut. The Torah says Jews are supposed to live in Israel. I'm doing what the Torah says. That's all. I'm in the pshuta. I'm living in Eretz Israel because it's pashut. Why is it pashut? The whole chumash is full of going to live in Israel. Hashem spoke to Avram, lech lecha. And to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov, and to Moshe Rabbeinu, and everybody. From the beginning of Tanakh to the end, it's all about Jews living in Israel. I don't have to explain it. I don't have a theory, economic theory, sociological theory, historical theory. No theories. Pashut. Says the Chumash, Jews live in Israel. That's what I do. Ishtam. Ishtam works. That's what the Shem Shmuel says. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should all remain tamim. Tamim tiyem Hashem lecha. Be simple, faithful with Hashem. This will get you through the galus. It's a very hard galus, galus Edom. And as you get to the end of galus Edom, the galus gets harder and harder, more intense. That's what we know from our tradition, and that we see. We see we never, ever had so many Jews leaving Judaism as today. Four times as many Jews have dropped out in America than were killed by the Nazis in the Holocaust. Approximately 24 million Jews are not Jews anymore, because in 1900 there were 6 million Jews in America. 1910 there were 6 million. So it's 100 years later. So they should have increased their population by four times. 100 years, you increase four times. America went from 100 million people in 1900, it's about 350 million today. China went from 500 million to 2 billion. You give 100 years, you triple, quadruple your population all over the world. It's normal birth rates. Why did the Jewish population in America go from 6 million, now it's down to 4 million? Trapped 2 million. In 100 years. The answer is they left. 24 million Jews who should be here are gone, never became Jewish. They were born goyim, they dropped out, that's it. And why did they drop? Golus Edom. Golus Edom. A pleasure seeking of Paras, the Chochmah, the wisdom of Yavon. Just being disconnected from your land, being in some foreign culture like Bavel, all of these different things were a body blow to the Jews in the United States. Meanwhile, the state of Israel, which has the land, just the land, just one factor, 600,000 Jews in 1948 became 7 million in 2016. In other words, the state of Israel population went up 11 times in 50 years. So it's a very, very super high growth rate. Should have gone up maybe double. Should have gone from 600,000 to 1.5 million, went to 7 million. So we see that the state of Israel, it's amazing if you look at this, the state of Israel has a super, super duper growth rate of Jews, and the rest of the world has a super duper attrition rate, because the Golus Edom is very strong, and you have to be in Israel, which is Tamim, Pashut. Israel is good. Why? Says the Chumash. Jews will survive there. Explain it? I have no explanation. I'm a Tam. I don't know anything. I just know what it says. I can't explain it. Can anybody explain it? No. Okay, both I wish Taka be Zocha to be part of Am Yisrael till Mashiach, despite all the goals.